sure. I've never, that's baloney, you know?
Well,
and really do.
You really sound like you're extremely excited about this.
Okay. Do you and your husband dress up?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I know it's good. But sometimes it just gets too hot when you're doing all that stuff. And if I had makeup on it, I'll just drip anyway. But no, I do not dress up.
Okay.
You know, but everybody else does. It's really neat. Kids have really cool costumes.
Is there anybody on Minnesota Avenue that turns their lights off?
No. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Wow. What city are we in?
DeLand.
In what part of Florida are we talking?
It's like an hour north of Orlando and 20 minutes from Daytona Beach.
Okay.
And then my son, Seth, and his two daughters came down for Halloween, so they get to trick-or-treat in the sunshine. So
wow.
It'll be nice. I know. I'm excited.
What are your grandkids going to dress up as? Do you know yet?
I think she's Elsa.
Oh,
and
okay.
And the 17-year-old won't be, you know.
Oh, sure.
So just hanging out.
Uh-huh.
So, good, yeah. So I had to call and clarify that it wasn't Side Lake that has the...
Well, we were stunned.
I
like,
was just
what?
Like, okay, well...
That's like half the population of the town.
Because, you know, of course, the forecast for tonight is chance of rain or flurries, and I'm like...
Is there really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, well, it's chilly down here. You know, right now, we woke up to 49, which is what your guys' high is going to be.
Yeah.
It'll be, I think, 69 is our high. Usually it's, you know, a little bit warmer than that, but that's okay. Then the Mr. Freeze Pops won't melt so quick.
Right.
So if you were trick-or-treating right now and you had your favorite choice of whatever it is you'd like, and let's just throw the freezies aside, what would you want as a kid or an adult?
Salt and nut roll.
Oh.
You're from Minnesota, aren't you?
I like them.
Yeah.
They are good, sweet and salty.
I know, you don't get those, you know, very much, really.
Do you like the nut goodie?
I like nut goodies, too, but I like the salted nut roll better.
Okay.
You know, in the first year when we came down here, we bought bags of candy, went to Costco and bought all these bags of candy, and I think we had 3 bags, like 150. The neighbor said, he goes, well, you ready for Halloween? And we go, yeah, we got 3 bags of candy, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, ha, ha, ha. He says, you'll be out. You run out by 5:30. And we did. Uh-huh. So now we do the Mr. Freeze Pops, and it works out really, really well.
So, Joanne, we thought you were from Side Lake, but now we're finding out you're in Florida. Do you take KAXE with you when you are in Florida?
You guys are a lifesaver, because when we bought this house, it needed so, so much work, and there's no good radio stations down here at all. And so, you know, we were kind of ignorant on streaming, and a friend of us showed us how to do it, and we like to listen to music to you guys while we're working. It just changes your whole demeanor, you know? So, now we got you all the time.
How long do you stay in Florida?
Until it gets warm enough to go back up to the cabin. Mid-May.
Life is good.
It's a seasonal cabin, so we have to leave when it's cold. But one bummer thing, we didn't get to see the snow this year. We left before the snow came. Mm. And you don't even have any yet.
No.
No, we don't. We're not going to have any this year.
What do you mean we're not going to have any this year?
We're not going to have snow this year.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Bold predicament. Prediction.
No, we are. It's going to be more snow than usual. We have heard.
Judy.
From.
We'll see.
Judy.
Punch and Judy.
Oh.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Tommy just said. I'm supposed to say Tommy and Kendall's name to you. They're listening. Hi, kids. Love you.
So, Joanne, for being on What's for Breakfast, Homestead Mills is our supporter, our sponsor. Would you like pancakes? Wild rice pancakes or country blend cereal?
The wild rice pancakes.
All right.
They go good with freezies.
Well, you know, limber up before tonight. It's going to be a marathon. You're going to love it.
We have a party. We make a party out of it. Everybody brings a potluck and everybody contributes. So it's a good thing. It's fun.
Oh, sounds great. Thanks for sharing it with us, Joanne.
Thanks, guys. Love you. You're a great show.
Bye-bye. What's for Breakfast? You hear it here on People-powered KAXE. It's Member Appreciation Week, and we are celebrating Halloween today at both of our studios. You can stop by and get some trick-or-treat candy if you want. We're going to be talking sports coming up. We do have a match on the table for this Member Appreciation Week, just for the Friday morning show, the Punch and Judy show, apparently. We need to hear from 4 people before 9 o'clock to get an extra $1,000 thrown in, thanks to the confidential pledger. Do that now. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Maybe it is the sports page that really keeps you connected, or conversations like what we just had with Joanne.
You're listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people in the land of Northern Minnesota through music, freezies, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you, like Joanne, to support this radio service. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. And when the next four people do, we will get a $1,000 match. That's a pretty good investment on your money.
Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician, but kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It is time for another edition of the sports page. I'm sitting next to Kyle Erickson. Annie Hall is across the screen from me.
No, I'm not the Annie Hall years. I'm the later Diane
Keaton.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Years.
What would that be? What would be the movie?
Something's got to give.
Okay.
There we go.
Megan Buffington's around, hanging around, and Fred Friedman is yet in the chair in the attic, but the door's open. So let's get this thing going. I'm sure all of you agree, but sports, professional, college, everything going on in Minnesota is not too joyous right now. Yeah, Fred's got the double down. Megan's chuckling. I think she agrees. Kyle, what are your thoughts on what's going on? Now, you were big on the Timberwolves. I know Edwards got hurt, but boy, they don't play defense. Let's just let each individual give their own vent. Let's start with you, Kyle. Overall scene.
Overall scene in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Thank God for the Lynx. That's what I always say. We have
not
one,
even the season.
One consistently excellent, functional, professional sports franchise and a bunch of dumpster fires.
I did not put him up to that, by the way.
No, that was unsolicited and unprompted. That is my genuine opinion. Let's see. The Vikings are terrible.
Yes.
They have no quarterback. They have holes on both lines, which we talk about every year, and they keep trying to fix and keep failing to fix. The Twins are a disaster. They're going to have a bottom five payroll in the league next year.
Wait a minute. They hired a coach that's got a 4-11 winning percentage.
And they hired a manager from the other worst run franchise in Major League Baseball, which the only way that makes any sense at all is that he is so used to dysfunction and ownership that won't invest in a roster, that it'll just be kind of a lateral move for him coming from the Pirates to the Twins.
Or we paid him $180,000 for the whole year.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. The Timberwolves are going to be okay as long as Edwards' hamstring injury doesn't linger. Their defense has been awful. I'm not as worried about them. I don't watch hockey until March.
Well, we'll let Megan take over the
so
Wild.
So Megan can talk about the Wild. What am I missing here?
Oh, the Gophers football?
Oh, yeah. There was some excited boat rowing noises going into, what is it, Carver Field that the Hawkeyes play at? And then the Gophers got absolutely dump trucked in Iowa, ending any hopes of a meaningful bowl.
Just got a text in saying the Frost has also been a winning franchise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
They haven't quite started yet. They
have a name now. That's right.
Yeah. We're just trying to do a little
current. What's the theme here with our two successful professional franchises, folks?
Women.
They're women's teams.
Megan Buffington, you got the bell is rung. It's your turn to take a few punches.
Oh, gosh. Well, the Wild have been disappointing, to say the least. The Carilion Air is, I mean, he's looked good, but he hasn't looked like a like the highest paid player in the league for certain. He's looked like he's up there, but it has not been enough. Dropping some games we shouldn't be dropping. Struggling, losing quick in overtime, even when we do push it there. We're hoping things turn around. Thank God for that power play finally being good. At least that's the one bright spot.
Yeah. Anything else? How are you feeling about the Vikes? I mean, I don't want to be redundant because everybody probably feels the same way, but I want you to express it in your own words.
I'm more sick of everybody questioning the quarterback situation and, oh, we're trying to, we don't want JJ to play. It's a cover up. Why the heck would you not want him on the field? Why would you be hiding him? That doesn't make any sense. He's just injured and he's coming back and hopefully it goes well. Well, remember, he's only started a game and a half in his career. It's not going to be flawless. If everybody could just put on their patient caps for a season or two, we'll see what happens.
So, Megan, we need to just let it, we do need to let him play and see what happens and just let it ride. What happens if he is just like really has a hard time for the next, whatever it is, 8-9 games we have? What are your thoughts about that? What do we do? We don't have anything else for quarterbacks. Gopher's backup.
Yeah, and that's not nothing. Max Brosmer.
I saw somewhere that he
may be a better short-term solution, but his ceiling is significantly lower. And the only reason he might be a better short-term solution is because he had more playing time in college. He's gotten more reps than JJ, which then circles back to JJ just needs time on the field. He needs to, like, if we're going to make an evaluation of him, he needs to be getting those reps and getting quicker, and the only way he's going to do that is getting playing time.
Yeah, there's not been sample size. We haven't had a chance to do that, see how he's doing. Fred, you're last but definitely not least. Just, we're going to turn it on right now. We'll put this five-second delay on. Oh, you're Fred.
You're muted, Fred.
To me, it's not that we're disappointed. It's that we allow ourselves to be disappointed season after season after season after season. It's all the same. I want to say this about two things. One, how can the Timberwolves' defense collapse with the same personnel as they had last year and the year before?
Absolutely.
And I'm concerned that Gobert and Conley are aging out. Conley is 38. And that's right. But they're not playing as well. None of those guys are playing as well defensively as they were. I want to say this about the Vikings. I say this. If J.J. McCarthy comes back absolutely healthy and is an above-average quarterback, is a promising quarterback, does well, still not going to solve the problems. He's still going to get beat up. The offensive line still can't protect him. The defensive line cannot stop the run, and we way overpaid two aging defensive tackles. We don't have anywhere enough cornerbacks. So I'm going to assign McCarthy that he's going to do well, and I will definitely be patient with him. I'm with Megan, but I don't see that solving the problems.
Yeah, it's...
No, I think you've got a good point, Fred, and there's... Brian Flores' shtick is starting to run out. Yeah. I was starting to get a little sick of it last season. It's great if you're doing weird and creative things and it's working, but when it's not working, you got to get the personnel you need. As far as the O-line, that's at least tried to address that, and injuries have just been biting us in the bum, so...
Well, on the defensive side, too, they've been missing some of their key linebackers for almost the whole season so far, and that is really... Yeah. What Flores needs is good enough secondary help to not let guys get open right away, but he needs run stuffers and he needs active linebackers. And when we've been missing two of our best linebackers, it just doesn't work.
None of which J.J. McCarthy can fix.
No.
but yet, any issues we have, he's going to take the blame for them. So buckle up, get ready for a national media ride. That's going to make me even more frustrated. It's going to be a long couple of weeks on the sports page.
Well, I tell you what, we got the Detroit Lions coming up, and that is going to be very scary.
You think they'll hold them under 50?
I don't know. Oh. They're good, and I'm happy for the Lions because they've been – they've been the doormats for many, many years, and they've been very successful, and I'm happy for them, but I am scared about this game. So we'll just see, if the Vikings even can be close. I don't know. And the Vikings don't have an easy schedule, do they, Megan? They got Detroit, they got Baltimore.
Ravens. That's what happens when you win 14 games. You don't get an easy schedule the next year, and it doesn't help when you're playing in the best division in the league. So
they haven't even seen Green Bay yet, have they?
But the Packers are a sham. We don't have to get into all that.
The Vikings' remaining schedule is the hardest in the NFL.
Well, we're undefeated in our division. We should be very happy.
In our one game against the Bears.
Jen, can we spend some time talking about the World Series?
Oh, yeah, that's right on my list. Yep. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, I mean, the Dodgers were overall favorites. I mean, they have a fortune, a payroll of crazy money.
So does Toronto.
So does Toronto. They got superstars all over the place, and Toronto's up 3-2, and they play at home the next two games, games 6 and 7. You know, we talk a lot, and correctly so, about way overpaid owners and ball players. Let's talk about this 22-year-old kid who's won two successive games for Toronto, and double-digit strikeouts in both games. And I don't know if you guys saw what he's getting paid this year, because they just brought him up in the middle of September, so it's prorated. Have y'all read what his salary is this year?
$78,000 or something.
Yeah, $57,000.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to change.
Dollars.
Yeah.
Well, and have you all seen, we haven't stopped talking about in our household, the photo, Fred's talking about Trey Savage, who pitches for the Jays. The photo of him striking out Shohei Ohtani the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And Ohtani's, if you haven't looked up the photo, just look up Trey Savage Ohtani. Ohtani is down on his knees, helmet flying off, and Trey Savage is just walking back to the dugout, not even looking at him.
There's a fun video clip I've seen where there's a running thing over each of their heads during an at-bat that tracks the salary that they've earned during the time of the at-bat. And it's like $17 for you, Savage, or something. That's millions for Ohtani.
Right.
We should know, too, that this kid started the season in A-ball.
He's starting the season in single A.
Was pitching in front of, like, what, 250 people or something they were saying on the broadcast?
Florida, yeah.
Wow. That's the beauty. Get these Cinderella stories. It's fantastic. So who will pit? Is the game tonight or tomorrow?
Tonight and tomorrow.
Who's pitching, Megan? Do you know for either team? Hate to put that on
I don't, but I can find out pretty quick.
Kyle's looking that up, too.
Dodgers, it's a Japanese kid. The inning
burner, yeah.
We also got a comment as we look for that from Maury saying the Minnesota United, the Loons, are alive in the playoffs after their best season ever.
Outstanding.
Yes.
Nice work.
Gossman and Yamamoto tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yamamoto has pitched two consecutive complete games in the playoffs, the first time since Curt Schilling almost 25 years ago.
Are we talking the bloody sock?
That's a unicorn.
And the day after pitching that complete game was, I think it was the game that went into 18, and he was volunteering to come in and throw there. He was warming up in the bullpen.
Nice.
And I'm not saying the Dodgers can't come back. Of course they can come back. You know, they got great.
But God help us if they do.
Yeah.
I
see some people talking about, they think Toronto is this plucky upstart team, and they're upsetting Goliath. Their payroll is almost $260 million. They have the fourth highest payroll in the league, I think.
What?
The stupidest comment I've read all week is one of the New York sports writers calling Toronto a mid-market franchise.
Oh, boy.
Metropolitan population is Chicago, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. And really, they get all of Canada. If we're like, yes, they're coast the Toronto to coast, Blue Jays, right? But
coast to coast. It's not hockey where they're dividing the press.
Can any of you come up with statistics like what the payroll is for the Dodgers and maybe what the payroll was for the Twins?
So the Dodgers payroll this year is about $350 million, a little bit over that. The Twins payroll, what they had on the books at the start of the year was, I think, $129 million. Of course, they've shed some of that.
Some of it.
And they expect that they'll open the 2026 season with a payroll in the $90 million range,
which would
put them in the bottom five.
Okay.
There's, Jen, you and Heidi better plan what we're talking about next summer, because it's not going to be the Twins.
Yeah. Well, we're going to shorten the sports page to 7 minutes next year.
I want an expansion of the WNBA.
In and out, just a rundown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of WNBA, we should probably talk a little bit about the business end of the league.
Yeah, what's going on?
The deadline for a new collective bargaining agreement came and went, so they agreed to extend talks for, I think, another week. And one of the big issues, of course, is the share of revenue that's going to go to the players. League revenue has gone up about 500% over the last 6 or 7 years, and the players still are only getting, I think, 9.2% of league revenue. They're going to be negotiating a new TV contract, which, of course, is, you know, the big source of revenue for the league that will jump a lot. So there should be more room to pay the players. It should push the league into league-wide profitability for the first time next year. And so it's good to see that apparently they're taking the bargaining seriously and trying to get the players better compensation.
Fred, Megan, do we know what's happening to the commissioner? Any talk about what's going on with her, or they're going to hang on to her? And
well, I know the players definitely want her out. You know, regardless of your franchise, regardless of who you are, star, not star, black, white, they all want her out. And that could be one of the issues that could lead them towards a strike. I think there is a possibility, not a, you know, a 30%, one out of three possibility that there will be a strike, because their payroll has to be way up, needs to be way up. And remember, the NBA owns them, so they cannot say we cannot afford this. You can't talk and get away with it. But so it's money, except when it comes to the commissioner. And let's be fair about this. There's a lot of women in this country that could do a much better job of running that league and keep the peace.
Yeah.
Star. It's a plum job.
Yeah. Megan, any more thoughts?
No, I think we covered it.
Megan, you're watching what's going on. Maybe we could talk about our new series a little bit too, but what's happening in high school sports right now?
Yeah, not much right now. We're in a little bit of a lull. ESCO, I actually haven't seen the results yet for yesterday, but we're playing in the third place game for girls soccer. So I either finished up third or fourth after losing to Providence Academy and Maddie Greenway in the semifinals. And then state cross country is this weekend, so we'll have those results to look for. 12 teams, 37 individual qualifiers from the Northland, so lots of good Northern Minnesota representation down there. And yeah, we'll have some, won't say too much yet, but we'll have some exciting new Northern Minnesota athlete stories coming your way pretty quick here.
I think, aren't they in the championship games in football now to kind of go to the state? I know Grand Rapids is.
Section finals.
I heard Grand Rapids has got a really good team. They got a 6'5 quarterback. They run the ball, and they're beating teams like Denfield by 60 points. So that doesn't mean anything, but they have a good team. And, yeah, they're getting the section finals to go to the state tournament, which will end, like, around Christmas. It seems like
mid-November.
Yeah, mid-November. It goes a long time.
Football will be wrapped up. But, yep, section finals, I think today is the last day for them. So that's what I'm in Breezy right now, getting ready for the Pequot game tonight.
Oh.
And against Peters. That'll be a good one. And exciting time of the year.
What is the Pequot Lakes mascot?
Patriots.
Patriots, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And who do they play, please? Megan, who does your alma mater play?
We're playing Piers tonight, so luckily Piers. Got the game moved from Duluth to Brainerd instead. Makes a little bit more geographic sense between Pequot and Piers.
No
so.
Kidding. Why would they even think that? Just
it's all MSHSL makes decisions. You kind of find a middle for the teams in the section, and then sometimes you can get it moved, and sometimes you can't. So
yeah, how about making it?
Sometimes they know stadiums are available.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Sometimes they don't. So.
All right. I think maybe one
quick note for NBA fans who maybe don't want to watch the Timberwolves for the next couple of weeks. Check out the San Antonio Spurs and Victor Wembanyama.
He's just dominating.
30 points, 14 and a half rebounds, 3.5 assists, 5 blocks a game.
He's got a wingspan.
He
21-year-old kid from France we're talking about, everybody. Oh, 21-year-old kid.
21 and probably now the best player in the league at 21.
All right. Well, hopefully next week we'll have the Wild to run off 3 victories. The Vikings are gonna, the Vikings will win by 3 points in overtime, and the Timberwolves will win their third game of the year.
And the Twins will be sold.
And the Twins will be sold. Yep.
Yeah, good. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's beautiful. All right, Heidi, we're ready for a little
sure. I do want to say it's Member Appreciation Week. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. This is our normal fall fundraiser, but thanks to you, we are able to just do community events and be here for you and still taking people who are pledging their support if they missed our big fundraiser. There's a match on the table today that someone who wanted to make sure we get a few more pledges coming in, and that's before 9 o'clock. If we hear from four people, an extra $1,000 unlocked from a confidential pledger. So thanks so much for that. You can text the word donate right now. 218-326-1234. Thanks to the senior correspondent. Today's topic for the trivia is a Halloween-ish thing. For example, Dave Boo Ferris was a first baseman for the Red Sox in the 40s, and cricket and baseball players have bats.
Oh, boy.
First question. This spider was an all-pro cornerback with the New York Giants in the 1960s and 70s. Oh, boy.
Off to a rousing start.
Well, I'm just quite not sure where we're at.
Spider. Initials, please.
C-L. Carl Spider Lockhart.
Oh, Spider Lockhart. Oh, I get it. Okay, now we know.
In Norse mythology, this mascot of a WNBA team is one of many female figures who guide souls of the dead to Valhalla.
The Valkyries.
Valkyrie.
This left-hander on the 1979 Pirates World Series winning team was known as the Candyman.
John Candelaria. Yeah.
John Candelaria.
The name for the single-person bobsled used in downhill races.
Oh, what's that thing called?
You'll see giant ones on people's lawns.
Skeleton.
There we go. Yeah. This stadium fixture intimidates pitchers.
Stadium fixture.
Intimidates
pitchers. Oh, gosh.
Okay, your hint is Fenway.
Oh, the monster.
Yep.
I see. Okay.
Green monster. This Hall of Fame shortstop is known as the Wizard.
Ozzie Smith.
On Halloween night in 2010, this 21-year-old rookie threw 8 shutout innings in Game 4 of the World Series.
91, did you say?
2010.
2010.
He was 21. You have a hint of the San Francisco Giant.
Oh, Tim Lincecum.
No.
No?
No, it's got to be a scary thing.
No, it doesn't, because it's Halloween night. That's the Halloween part of it. So.
Not Bumgarner.
Yeah.
No. Oh, Medicine Mad. Yeah.
Yep. So Fred and John on this one first.
Fred and John? I got no chance.
What dangerous but popular fictional sport is played by witches and wizards riding flying broomsticks? Megan.
This has to do with what you call it. It's got to be J.K. Rowling.
It's Harry Potter. Yeah,
Quidditch is the name of the sport.
See, that was kind of nasty as Scott Hall.
He adds to that, witches don't ride on their broomsticks when they're angry because they might fly off the handle.
Ah, good.
In the early 1900s, Amos Alonzo Staggs, University of Chicago Maroons football team, was the first team to earn this nickname.
Oh. Fighting Stags.
The hint is the Chicago Bears nickname.
Monsters of the Midway.
Yep.
Oh, God.
And this one, Megan, John, and Kyle first. The nickname of the University of Illinois and Chicago Bears Hall of Fame running back, Red Grange.
The ghost.
Galloping ghost?
Yes. Yep. There you go. That's it.
Wow. Good ones. All right, everybody, let's be positive and hope for a good sports page next week. I mean, it's been
great. If you say it, live it, John.
All right. I will do that, Megan. I will do that. See you.
Hey, and Heidi, don't we have to move our clocks back tomorrow
night? We do. Daylight saving time this weekend. Set your clock back 1 hour.
So the Vikings game will get here sooner.
Good for you.
Later. Isn't it later?
Later, I guess. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. All right.
Get an extra hour to prepare.
Oh, boy. All right, Megan, good luck at Pequot. See y'all.
Thank you.
See you, folks. Bye,
guys. Coming up, we've got local news with the Up North Report, and we've got more for you throughout our morning. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Membership Appreciation Week, candy available and just fun. We can give you a tour at the stations of KBXE in Bemidji and KEXE in Grand Rapids. And we're looking for some pledges to get that match on the table.
Yeah, we need four pledges to get a $1,000 match. Kyle, what are you wearing when you go out trick-or-treating tonight?
I'm going as overweight nerd once again this year. It's been a hit.
It's been a hit. Oh, boy. I want to thank North Homes Children and Family Services, providing compassionate mental health services to children and families at home, school, and in the community. More information at northhomes.org. One more thing about sports, Kyle.
Yeah.
Has the umpiring been okay or not?
In the 18-inning game, I saw a graphic. I can't remember how many total pitches the plate ump saw, and he had like a 96% accuracy rate, which is wonderful.
Because I even heard some players saying we have a good behind-the-plate guy today.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. The people are stepping up. They should.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. Governor Tim Walz announced Wednesday that his administration will pause payments for more than a dozen Medicaid services pending a third-party audit. The Department of Human Services flagged 14 Medicaid services as high risk based on what it calls program vulnerabilities and evidence of fraudulent activity. The funding pause could last up to 90 days for programs like integrated community supports, non-emergency medical transportation, adult day services, and many other programs serving people with disabilities. The audit will be performed by Optum, a division of Minnesota-based United Health Group. Earlier this year, national media outlets reported the healthcare giant was also under investigation for fraud by the Department of Justice. Walz, who recently announced his intention to seek a third term in office, stated that programs and services can't be effectively delivered without the backing of public trust. The now-defunct Housing Stabilization Services is among the 14 programs affected by the pause. The state moved to shut down the program in August due to fraud, with eight people currently charged in federal court. The payment pause comes amid a fraud frenzy in Minnesota that so far appears to have cheated the state out of hundreds of millions of dollars. Minnesota's largest nurses union is calling out Essentia Health for what it describes as unsafe staffing levels following four recent assaults on staff in Duluth and Brainerd. The Minnesota Nurses Association says the incidents over a two-week time span reflect a, quote, dangerous pattern in Essentia facilities, one that nurses have been warning about for years. The union is calling for strengthened staffing ratios and including frontline nurses in hospital safety decisions. In a statement to the Minnesota Star Tribune, Essentia Health says the union is, quote, exploiting a serious challenge to score points in the press instead of working toward meaningful solutions, and that, quote, no amount of staffing can prevent violence against healthcare workers. MNA says security systems and emergency tools play an essential role in hospital safety, but can't replace the need for adequate nursing staff to prevent crises before they occur. The Star Tribune reports that between 2021 and 2022, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports there were 550 assaults in Minnesota hospitals that resulted in workers missing days or having restricted duty transfers because of their injuries. Pretty soon, Minnesota's farm fields will be in a deep freeze, but some seeds will still be doing their work. Farmers trying out a winter-hardy crop are at the forefront of a production process to create cleaner fuel for commercial jets. This fall, the University of Minnesota's Forever Green Initiative is in the early stages of a study to determine the next steps for sustainable aviation fuel. A key ingredient is winter camelina, a cover crop that not only protects the soil from erosion, but also has the potential for commercial use. Forever Green's co-director Mitch Hunter says right now they're green rows of little plants that will fully blossom in the spring.
And then after the plant flowers, those flowers will turn into fruit packed with seeds. And inside each one of those seeds, you have 35% or so oil.
Minnesota researchers and their partners are leading a charge to convert that seed oil into low-carbon jet fuel that airlines can use to reduce their emissions. Last fall, a test flight using SAF flew out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Hunter says the latest research aims to lay out a blueprint detailing what's needed to scale up production. Challenges include perfecting crop varieties and finding enough processing capacity. In northern Minnesota, fourth-generation farmer Eric Kakowski just planted his share of winter camelina across roughly 640 acres. It's his third season of trying this crop out. Like researchers, there's a learning curve for him, including the best time in the fall for putting the seeds in the ground. But he says it's an easy crop to manage.
I don't have to babysit it. I can take care of my other crops and make sure they're producing like they're supposed to.
Groups like Friends of the Mississippi River back the movement because of the chance to improve water quality with healthier farmland. Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for the story. ESCO finished fourth place in the girls' soccer state tournament. They tied with St. Cloud Cathedral with 0 points in the third-place match Thursday afternoon. ESCO played top-seeded Providence Academy and lost 1-3 in the semifinals Wednesday. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
Up North Report, you hear it here on Member People Powered KAXE Member Appreciation Week. Happy Halloween to you.
If you're just turning on that knob and listening to us, we need four people to become members. Renew your membership, become a brand new member. And when you do, when we reach those four, we get $1,000 matched on that. So that is outstanding. And we only have about 24 minutes to make that up. So let's get going. 218-326-1234.
Mary, the bus driver from Cass Lake, sent a photo that one of the drivers today is dressed up as a Care Bear. And we got a photo coming in.
Oh, so,
glad to hear it, Mary.
That's fantastic. We want to thank the Rife in Grand Rapids presenting the Mississippi Hot Club for its Cozy Concert Series November 2nd at 2 p.m. The group performs jazz and swing selections. We also want to thank Schroeder Log Home Supply, supplying wood home and cabin owners with specialty sealants, preservatives, and wood finishes. More information at Grand Rapids Store online at loghelp.com.
All right, there are some things right in front of you guys. Kyle's still in the studio with us. It is Halloween, and, you know, people are dying to know. Of the choices of candy bars I put in front of you or candy, which would you chew? Let's go through what's there.
Milky Way, a Butterfinger, an Almond Joy, a Reese's Cup, and M&M's. Now, I have to tell you, I hate them all. Except,
I hate
the first four completely. Would never have them, but I would have the M&M's. Now, I've had by mistake, I took a Reese's, a little mini Reese's piece, you know, a buttercup, and I really did like it. So I shouldn't say that. Kyle, I know you're not going Butterfinger.
Butterfinger is too one note, too much of just one thing. And it's not a favorite flavor of mine.
And it embeds in your teeth.
Well, yeah.
Just embeds.
Not as bad as a Heath bar, but it's kind of in that vein. If the M&Ms were peanut butter M&Ms, it would be that for me in a landslide, would just sweep the rest of them aside.
So then you must be somewhat a Reese's.
I like Reese's Cups. Out of these five, I think I'm probably going with Almond Joy.
Really?
Everything else is just a single texture. I like that Almond Joys, you've got chocolate, you've got coconut, you've got almonds, so you're getting three different flavors, three different textures. It's more interesting and complex.
The only one out of that lineup I would not eat, and that
would not eat.
Yeah, would be the Milky Way.
Yeah, and
just too sweet.
Yeah,
just,
well, it's a tiny bit better than the Three Musketeers.
Yeah,
but not much.
Yeah,
not much.
So, but I think you have to be a coconut lover to go with Almond Joy. I can't do it.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you
most
don't.
Of the time I do. Yeah. You know, Peter,
you know
Almond
what
Joy.
I don't even know if I've ever had an Almond Joy because as a kid, I think I equated coconut with like being an adult now that you say that. So I never had Almond Joy. I thought I didn't like coconut.
Yeah.
And then tried it like in my 20s, a coconut cream pie, which if you need to try coconut for the first time,
that's a good entry point.
That's what you should do. Yeah. And it turns out I loved it.
I think that's a brilliant point, Heidi. I think as a kid, I think you have to be an adult to like coconut.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see a Kit Kat. If there was a Kit Kat in here, it'd be just like
a
no-brainer.
I don't know what those are. Yeah.
Kyle, what are your feelings on Kit
Kats? Kit Kats are good. My gripe with Kit Kats is over the 49 and a half years I've been on Earth here, the size of Kit Kats has relentlessly shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. And so now, you know, in an effort to squeeze more profit out of each Kit Kat they sell, the ratio of chocolate coating to thin and crispy wafer is just not the same.
And they think they're pulling it over on our heads, and they're not. Yeah, people know.
We know what they're up
to. Now you get a king-size Kit Kat. It's like a normal Kit Kat.
It's the size of an old one. Yeah, a regular one.
I just hate that when they think we're, like, not smart.
You guys know that there's all kinds of different kinds of Kit Kats, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
white ones and green ones.
Orange, matcha. Orange cream ones, matcha Kit Kats. Yeah. I've seen strawberry.
When we were in Japan, they had amazing ones there. It was wasabi. They had a sweet potato Kit Kat.
Interesting.
Sake Kit Kats. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah. For folks listening over in KBXE land, the Asian market in Bemidji has a lot of really interesting, different flavored, you know, potato chips and candy. So if you're looking to expand your snack horizon, there's a local spot for you to check out. I don't know if I can legally
mention that.
Probably
you're not saying go there. We're just telling you what
is
available.
Don't go there. I'm saying it's available.
I love Baby Ruth's, and also I've had one of these candy bars in my life, and it was in Wisconsin on a golf course. It's called a One.
Mm.
And it's tremendous.
You like Baby Ruth just because of Caddyshack?
I can't eat them because of Caddyshack.
Oh, no.
There's like a mint and dark chocolate Kit Kat that you can get, a blueberry muffin Kit Kat. Let me know if any of these are sounding good.
In the United States?
Strawberry and dark chocolate. I said blueberry muffin. White chocolate. That's not that unusual. You can get a little pack. This is for a mocha chocolate. I bet that's pretty
good. This is not in Minnesota.
I've seen them.
Go to the candy store.
You'll see them.
Sometimes you just don't need to mess with stuff. Now here's
they
another
come
thing
in over
I love
200.
Frozen chocolate. I love my candy frozen. I don't care if it's a
what's your favorite candy to eat frozen?
Is just a plain Hershey chocolate bar.
No almonds, just the straight
well
up
with almonds yeah okay. with almonds okay. yeah
All right, we are hearing from some folks. Lisa's cannot believe I've never had an Almond Joy. It has joy in the name, she said. And Scott's texting in before you even said it about the Baby Ruth.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the Marathon Bar?
Oh, yeah.
Brought that up with the kids here last on Monday morning, and they'd never heard of it. I was trying to explain.
Didn't it have a ruler
on it? Yeah, it had a ruler. It was super thin. Remember? Yeah. And caramel inside. But not so much caramel that it got messed up in your teeth. And there was like holes in it, I think, right?
Yeah, it would crisscrossed. Like a pretzel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
From my youth, I can remember going to summer camp and you'd squirrel away a little money and buy candy from the canteen in the evening. And there's a thing called a Summit Bar.
Oh, yeah.
This is going way back to like mid-1980s that I remember that being my favorite thing. Couldn't tell you what it was in it or what it tasted. It was just an enduring positive memory of Summit bars.
Do we ever see, here's a candy bar I like. A whatchamacallit.
Whatchamacallit, yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But you don't see them small, do you? Snack size?
I haven't.
No. I think they're defined like a Marathon bar for being large, long.
Okay. All right.
Oh, you know what? I can't believe this. My favorite candy bar is a Nestle's Crunch.
Oh, that's a good
one. My favorite. And it used to be with foil.
Mm-hmm.
It was wrapped in foil, and then when you're young, you take the foil and put it in your mouth, and you chew it, and you feel
if your fillings would
rock your world. Kind of masochistic stuff, but yeah, I'm Rice Krispies all the way. Hall of Fame.
Hey, we are hearing from people who are pledging, hoping we'll get that match by 9 o'clock. Lori, our friend from South Minneapolis and Cohasset, coming in saying, I know nothing about sports, but the sports page gets me up on Friday mornings. Here's a sweet little Halloween treat.
Nice.
And we also heard from Jim in Orr giving us a little treat. Jim from Vermilion Dam. Thank you so much, Jim. We appreciate that. And a confidential pledger coming in from Ely. Thank you so much for your support.
That's three.
And we unlock an extra $1,000 thanks to another confidential member who, even though it's not membership drive, it is membership appreciation week. Wanted to make sure people get on board for KEXE. So thank you so much for all of you.
And another thing we appreciate all the business support we get. It's essential to our success. We want to thank the Blandin Foundation, Strengthening Rural Minnesota, blandinfoundation.org, and Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the Gigazone, A broadband cooperative featuring all fiber optic gigazone internet speeds up to 10 gig and local customer service. PaulBunyan.net.
Is there some freewheeling watcher shooting marbles in the sky, holding your ears between their fingers, watching it burn till the fire dies? Why is it heroic to untether? How is a lonesome holy grail? And if we really come and go unknown, couldn't I find myself in jail? Oh, keeper, how I love you. I love you and you and you. And returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. But it's the only thing to do. Is it evolving, turning inward? Oh, what an easy way to be. Only kneeling at the altar of the great and mighty me. Let me break myself apart. Instead and scatter to my birds like a burial at sea. To be the gospel without words. Oh, my darlings, how I love you. I love you and you and you. And returning to myself is such a lonely thing to do. But it's the only thing to do.
This is new from Brandi Carlile. She's got a new album out, a little different than the past.
Yeah.
Albums, Returning to Myself. This is the Friday morning show here on People Powered KAXE. Coming up, we're going to be live from the KBXE studios in downtown Bemidji. And thank you so much to those folks who have come through. We need one more pledge of support, and we unlock an extra $1,000. It's Member Appreciation Day, but our confidential pledger wants to make sure that we keep on going. So thank you all so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, no kidding.
Text the word donate right now, 218-326-1234.
We would like to thank Oak Hill Assisted Living in Grand Rapids, providing personalized care in a home setting. More information at oakhillseniors.com.
All right, earlier, John, you were flabbing on about the hair in the vacuum and the brush or whatever was happening to you.
You know what I'm talking about, Heidi.
Yeah, I do, because my own hair and cat hair gets in there.
Yes.
And you got to, like, turn it over. It's a real messy
turn job. It over and it faces you, and you got to pull it out and you got to let it flow into the suction.
We've got Heather Johnson joining us, our membership coordinator and apparently expert on the vacuums. Morning, Heather.
Oh, my gosh.
Good morning. Yes, I am actually a vacuum expert too.
when did this, at what stage in your life did this gift show up?
Well, we're a very hairy family, so.
Oh boy.
And we have two cats, so.
Oh yeah.
So what have you solved this dilemma? First of all, do you feel John's pain?
I do.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely. We went through many vacuums, many pairs of scissors, all sorts of things to solve this problem.
Okay, so what do you recommend?
But, there's at least one model. It has a silicone fin situation instead of the brushes.
Silicone.
And it doesn't collect hair at all. It's great.
So is it like a like a little foam pad that goes around the whole circumference of the bottom of the suction?
Yeah.
And what is it?
That's
what
exactly
is it,
what it is.
Is it made of a material that doesn't absorb hair then? Like it's a plastic?
Silicone. Silicone.
Yep, that's and what it is. It just kind of repels it.
And it doesn't scratch anything like a floor.
No.
Think of like a rubber spatula, that consistency. That's what you mean by silicone.
So, okay, this is critical now. Okay, so is it spongy? Or is it rock hard? It's got to be spongy then. Otherwise, if it's rock hard, it can scratch.
Yep, it's spongy. So we have these floors that scratch if you look at them, and it works great on those.
Well, what the heck? What's the name of this? I know we're not promoting, but the people need to know. What is it?
Well, the monster from Jaws, that's kind of the company that makes them.
This is
John
serious. You can
John
tell.
Needs
I
some help.
I need help.
He doesn't know what you mean.
Oh, it's by the Shark Company.
Shark? I've never heard of that. Okay.
What? You haven't heard of Shark?
Oh, no. I mean, that's not a shark vacuum I've never heard of.
Oh, there's tons of them. We have a shark.
Well, where have I been? But then why do you have this problem, Heidi, as well?
We don't have the one she's talking about.
So it's an accessory. It's an add-on. It's not the
No, it's maybe a fancier version.
Yeah, it's the model.
Well, what's the model? Like the Shark 1000 or what? I need to know this.
Off the top of my head on a Friday morning?
Well, please do some research when you get a moment, because this is
okay.
This is huge. So you really swear by it. You don't have to turn it over.
I do.
And talk to it and swear at it and then pull all the hairs out and let them suck in there.
No, hair isn't a problem. My issue is bobby pins, because I kind of sprinkle them everywhere when I'm walking around the house.
Body pins?
So they do get
bobby.
bobby pins. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, we should see John's face, Heather. Wow. We're learning a lot about you. So you sprinkle bobby pins as you walk around.
They just fall out.
Wow.
Where are these body pins? Are they
bobby pins?
Are you carrying them in your hand? Are they falling out of your hair?
No.
What, your pants?
Hair.
They're in my hair.
Okay. Not in her pants.
I mean, maybe you hook them together to keep your pants up. I don't know. Here's my question.
I've never tried it.
Why have not all the vacuum cleaners in the world gone to this solution?
Well, I think the answer is so you keep replacing them.
Oh, yeah, just like anything. They think we're stupid. And they take advantage of us.
Wow.
I'm very happy. Is a shark, so it's one you pull around, right? I mean, you got a hose and it's got three wheels or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And then it disconnects a little bit, and so you can do the stairs. It's pretty nice.
Fantastic. This is the greatest Halloween gift I've ever received.
So, wow. Heather, for you.
Well, happy Halloween.
Thank you. It is.
Hey, we've got about 6 minutes left. Just one more and we get an extra $1,000.
How do you feel about that?
For a confidential member. By the way, about one more vacuum comment. Julie Crabb says it's planned obsolescence. That's a great way to think of this. But we're looking for one more. We get a confidential match unlock for $1,000. You can become a member, renew your membership, give us a Halloween treat. Text the word donate right now to 218-326-1234. Heather, how's Membership Appreciation Week going for you?
It's the greatest week. We've had so much fun. We had some events. We've had people into the studio. It's just like the best celebration.
That's fantastic. And you're a bride of Frankenstein. Who are you dressed up today? For a Brooker?
I'm the bride of Ben Frankenstein.
Oh, he's one of our DJs.
Ah, okay. I saw the costume. Looks excellent. So do you stay home and avoid having to give out candy and just take the kids out till around midnight? Or how does it work for you tonight?
I didn't understand any of that.
Well, I mean, if you
take a kid out till midnight?
If you take your kids out to midnight, then you don't have to give candy when you get home.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I'm just trying to do a financial thing. What's going on with you tonight, the kids?
So this is the first year that my son isn't trick-or-treating.
Oh.
So it's a little bittersweet.
Oh.
But we're going to watch a couple of scary movies and
give out
have
candy?
Some snacks and get ready for green cheese tomorrow.
There we go. Give out candy?
You're going to give out candy or turn the lights out? It's okay.
Well, we could, but we don't get many people on our street.
Okay. You said you're getting ready for kids, green cheese trivia. Let's talk about who's going to be hosting.
Yeah, well, hosting is Mike Spry, and then his granddaughter will be co-hosting, and my son, Alex.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then stick around. It'll be your regular green cheese, and that'll be Brandon Chase and Heather. Should be a lot of fun.
Yes.
So, Heather, do you have...
it's fun to co-host every now and then.
Heather, do you have any... Do you know what movies you're watching tonight? Do you like to get... really scared or
I thought maybe we would tackle Young Frankenstein.
I'm
not sure.
Oh, you can't go wrong with that. That's a great one. Well, thank you so much for the shark advice. It really has made my day.
And so do you, KBXE, is it true? Do you want people to stop by today?
Absolutely, yes. Stop by and get a treat. We love when people stop by, so it'll be great.
All right. Thanks so much, Heather.
Thanks,
good to
Heather.
Talk to you.
Thank you. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Keeping us going on Appreciation Week, and that's going on through tomorrow. We thank you so much. We've got events. Thank you to the folks who came out in Baxter last night at Jack Pine Brewery. We really appreciate it and hope you can stop by with us today. Otherwise, we'll be coming out into your community more often, too, where you get a chance to ask questions or give us ideas about what's happening in your community. Coming up at 9 o'clock, it's going to be Malachi Coons and Headwaters, followed by Minnesota Mixtape. Today at 1 o'clock, our host for On the River is Gina the Knife. Nice.
The Knife.
Ken McBride tonight at 7 o'clock.
So Malachi is kind of teasing us in a sense because he hasn't fully, he's partially dressed apparently, but is not letting us know who he is. He's not Jim Morrison.
Well, no, Kari's going to put makeup on him. So then we'll know.
Are you taking a guess?
No, I don't know. But here's the fun thing. So I dressed up as Diane Keaton in her later years with the gloves and all that. Kari dressed up as Annie Hall era Diane Keaton. So
there'll be a picture on Facebook.
Very cool. Let us know what you're dressing up as. Are you someone who dresses up? Text 218-326-1234 and let us know. Text the word donate to that number and you'll get us that match.
We need one more call.
Yeah, 218-326-1234.
3 minutes roughly.
Let's talk about some of the things folks can do today instead of if you want to go to something and keep your house dark and not give out candy yourself. Go to the Screamatorium at Chair in downtown Virginia. That's now through tomorrow, 6 to 10 each evening. And then there's a tamer version of the scary Screamatorium from 4 to 6 today for younger kids.
And up north in Marcel, the Family Center has a Halloween bash from 5 to 7:30. Families can enjoy food, games, candy, and more.
Everyone's invited to the Bemidji Halloween Skate. Today, it starts at 5 o'clock. You meet at the Bangsburg parking lot on the BSU campus, and you bike, skate, or roll down Beltrami Avenue. Costumes are encouraged, and families may peel off on the route at any time to continue their trick-or-treating.
And the Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce has a trick-or-treat event at the Emeralds Nursing Home on Halloween from 4 to 6, and we've seen some great nursing home videos this morning about some of the great costumes. One guy's got he's got his walker, and what is it? What is it, a J? He's a jaywalk. He's a jaywalker.
Yeah. Hey, there's some things going on that are not Halloween. Tomorrow, the Brainerd Nordic Ski Club has their annual ski swap. It's at 7:30 at Forest View Middle School. 7:30 a.m. is when you can drop your equipment off, and the sale runs from 9 to noon. And Misabi Symphony Orchestra kicks off their season tomorrow night at 7 at Rock Ridge Performing Arts Center in Virginia. And then Watermark Art Center in Bemidji. They have an opening reception tomorrow. I See Epiphanies. from 2 to 4. The artist is Eliza Clare, and she will speak at 2:30. Checking out here.
See if we got
one more game.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. Sandy from Merrifield, longtime members. She said, my husband Don Hickman and I have been members for 30 years, but rather than a dollar a day annual gift, we want to become sustaining members at a higher rate. You are such a valuable asset to our community. Thank you for outstanding programming, local news, outreach, promotion, and intersections of community events, opportunities.